Good morning. Thank you for standing by. Welcome, everyone, to the Ultra Series Meet Ultra Power's Leaders video conference to discuss the plans, initiatives, growth, and profitability at AmPm, as well as its new store concept and company-operated store model. Today with us, we have Mr. Marcelo Farrell, Head of AmPm, Mr. Marcelo Araújo, Chief Executive Officer of Ipiranga, and Mr. Rodrigo Pizzinatto, Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer of Ultra Power. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Afterwards, we'll have a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. We remind you that questions which will be answered during the Q&A session may be posted in advance in the webcast. A replay of this call will be available for 1 week. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any statements that may be made during this conference call relating to AmPm's prospects, projections, and operational and financial goals constitute beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as information currently available. Forward-looking statements are no guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and premises because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of the company and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Rodrigo Pizzinatto, who will start the conference. Mr. Pizzinatto, you may proceed. Good morning, everyone. We'll be here with you again. It's the second meeting of Ultra Power's Leaders video conference. We held the first one in March. You probably remember when we talked about the expansion plans and the improvement of the profitability of the company. And today, AmPm will talk about growth with profitability, and we'll present all the people we have with us, Mr. Farrell and Mr. Araújo, Ipiranga's CEO. And I'll turn the call over to Marcelo. Welcome, Marcelo. Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be here with you once again. It's an opportunity that we'll have of going deeper into our strategy and what we plan to do at AmPm. We talked briefly in the last event we met, and I would like to remind you that before turning the call to Farrell, that this process that we are undergoing is under the strategy of Ipiranga's major strategy when we review the business of Ipiranga, and we identified our proposition of value, which is the best of the market, which has independent pillars, Abastece Aí, kilometers of vantagens, which have their own lives. And this had happened before in the partnership with Shell, and it's the time for us to implement this value strategy of Ipiranga to gain autonomy so it can grow as a sustainable business for many years. All those businesses were marketing tools for this strategy, and all the transition that in the market that we intend to go through. And we have the cost strategy that became a strategy of ever more digital and complete with businesses that can create value by itself, not only tools to sell more fuel. And little by little, we'll create value in the points of sales, migrating from other adjacent businesses. Within this strategy, we are emancipating, as we are calling it, of AMPM. And we are here to tell the story about what we have been doing the last 2 years and what are our visions for the future. I will stop talking because who's going to tell the story is the one who's leading this process. And this has been going on for 2 years. So I'll turn the call over to Mr. Farrell. Thank you, Marcelo. Good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be here with you for the first time to talk about AMPM, to tell you our story, our dimension, to talk of the dimension of our business, our plans for the future, and the most recent work we have been done, mentioned by Marcelo, which is related to reviewing and restructuring our offer package. I'm going to move on to slide two. I would like you to move to slide two, where you can see a brief storyline. I'm going to try to be as objective as possible. We assumed the company in 1993 when Ipiranga bought Atlantic. And this is a very important point because as early as 2008, we took a strategic direction by means of food service. This is a business that is still in a very important moment of consolidation. And it was very important to have a mix of products to keep this business model that could be sustainable, that would sustain this franchise strategy that we have. So we launched the bakery. And today we are the largest network of bakery with more 800 stores. So bakery was the basis of the beginning of the development of offer of food service that has been expanding along the time. I'm going to talk about it in soon. And we acquired AMPM in Brazil in 2012, and then we started a very accelerated cycle of expansion leading to the absolute leadership of the market in convenience stores in Brazil. Another strategic pillar, which is very important, happened in 2013 with our own solution of fuel. And this simplified the life of our franchisees that offered a consistent mix of products. And we were very careful at all time with safe food security because our strategy was focused on food service. And this was a strategic point of success. And we faced some operational difficulties because this is a sub-product of the resales of fuel. So that demanded a major care to make the supplier that oftentimes is our franchisee so that we could make their lives simpler. In 2014 and 2015, we had new formats of stores and we materialized the strategy of the complete service of Ipiranga. In 2019, we came to the time for us to begin our emancipation path, as we are referring to it recently. We transferred the headquarters to São Paulo. We formed a team with a specialized and experienced team, research and development in food service, so that we could continue this development as robust as possible when we offered food service, and particularly proprietary service. And this was something that surprised us, and we are going to discuss this in the following slides. In 2020, we started to see some of the results of what we refer to as the new AMPM. It's a new concept of physical store with a robust layer of digital supported by a new platform of communication. When we look at numbers of the business, I move to slide three now. We are a network of 1,806 stores, 818 bakeries. So 45% of our network comprises stores with bakeries. We operate in 26 states in Brazil, in 632 cities. And this is important data that brings us That makes us very proud when we bring this information firsthand. We have an additional 120 stores operated as a proprietary stores. So this will be in operation this month. We have four DCs in São Paulo, in Rio and Paraná, close to Curitiba and Porto Alegre, with a dedicated fleet of 92 trucks operating at three temperatures: room temperature, frozen, and chilled. This is fundamental for those whose purpose is to offer food service. As we said, food security is a critical factor for our success. The highest penetration of stores of industry. When I mention the word penetration, I refer to our network of fuel stations that is three times bigger than the industry as a whole, and a business of 1.8 billion. And this is the total LTM income considering the first quarter 2021 and also the other three quarters of 2020, as comprising the last 12 months. So we are talking about a complete period when the pandemic was intense. More than 9 million clients per month, an average ticket size of 16.5, and more than 800 SKUs per store. Moving on to slide four. Here we can have some details of what has been done as of 2019. In other words, what happened after the transformation when we prepared AmPm for its emancipation. We strengthened the structure operating as a business model in São Paulo, creating a new business model which is complete. And this team was not only transformed and changed from the viewpoint of providing support to the operation, but we rather invested a lot in the field team, especially in the relation of number of store per franchise consultant. And one of the challenge in the convenience store business in Brazil is to have a transformation that can be accentuated in the as a transformation in the point of sale. Convenience business is a sub-product of the distribution of fuel. So the challenges that are taken to the resale to provide good service at the fuel station is very different from the challenges faced by the franchisee when the offer is based on food service. So we invested in the fuel team, we qualified, we improved continuously, and these were all very important factors. And we have been seeing major improvements, especially using the proprietary operation as a reference. We will talk a lot about it in a few minutes. We have 10 people involved directly in the business, on the everyday business of the activities, representing all the regions in Brazil. And oftentimes we go outside the box, and we know that when we get to that space, we can make adjustments and make the franchisee to be daring, trying to find pioneering aspects and initiatives so that we can bring more robust solutions to our franchisees. The key competencies in the retail market is that we brought somebody very experienced to lead the R&D team so that we can develop this category of product. As to digital, what we refer to MarTech, which is marketing and technology focused on the retail aspect. We have experienced people and proprietary operations will be the major vector for changes and innovations for a business, especially in the viewpoint of execution. I believe that this has a little bit more about the new AMPM, not only related to the transformation of the experience of changing the physical store, but it includes a digital journey when our business will be effectively an omni-channel business and a winning model that I'm going to provide with more details. On slide five, next slide, we can see clearly the details of what this change was all about from the viewpoint of concept of physical store. When we see a traditional convenience store, we can see the door. It is in front of the checkout, and the access to the checkout is very easy. At the checkout, we have products which will generate an important flow to the convenience store business, but whose margins are very limited. So you have a door that would have access to those products. The consumer would just purchase the product and would leave very easily. So the first conceptual change that we made was to take advantage of this process when we have those high flow, high traffic of people generation. So this store is shown here. It's a bakery. We can see the entrance to the left and an area of a decompression where the consumer would face the food service. So it would see the category, which is the basis and the priority of our offer package. And this is when we capture the major margin per square meter inside the store. So the consumer would enter, would see the food service, and then through a journey. Oh, the graph used had an animation, but I cannot show you now. But you can understand what you see in pink is the external area of the counter, service counter, where you can see many types of bread and related products. And then the person would have access to the windows of products. And this is what I refer to as a product mix at a more advanced level, expanded pies, sandwiches, hamburgers, pizzas. In other words, for any time of the day, for breakfast, lunch, brunch, at any time of the day or night, we have a specific offer. And by means of digital solutions, all those offers will be included in a menu that would vary according to each time the food is going to be consumed. And then it will have an intuitive, intelligent, smart journey where on the right, we see the battery of refrigerators, the beer cave, and then the shelves of hygiene products and other products. And at the back, an offer of wine that would vary according to the store and the location of the store. This model, especially at the back, where you see in blue, light blue, was studied from the technical viewpoint in detail so that we could have the lowest possible cost of operation. So we studied all the equipment, the coolers, so energy will be saved because energy is an offender to the results. And then at the end, we can see the checkout in yellow. And we also have the consumption area, which is an area which is extremely comfortable, cozy, with a Wi-Fi, where the consumer is able to spend some time working or doing something else when the person is consuming our product. And the checkout is in the second axis, and which is a door out. And this is when we are going to have the product that will generate the highest flow into the business, but whose margins are very limited. Just for you to have an idea as a baseline, the first store that was inaugurated in February 2019 had this structural change. And from this layout change, it generated 8.2% in the operating results, the EBITDA of that particular store. So, in fact, this is a project that gives us a lot of pride. And we feel very happy to see all those results in such a short time. Now I'll move on to slide six, talking about what has already been consolidated. Considering this new store concept, we have three formats. We have other formats as well, but these are the three consolidated store formats. The first one is the basic AM/PM, which measures 55 square meters. I always talk about the floor, not the total size of the store. And it has a mix of food service at about 15%. And then we have the compact bakery AM/PM with 150K of sales. And the full bakery AM/PM with sales of 250,000 on average per store. Considering this new concept, we have 56 stores in operation and a pipeline of 183 stores. So we are likely to finish the year with 10% of the network already converted into this new format. And with an impact of the concept, as I presented before in my presentation, and this is all very relevant. We calculated the growth of 15% per sale per square meter and EBITDA from 5% to 10%. And in that first case, it was 8.2 in the first month of operation that happened a little before the pandemic. And our plan is to accelerate the retrofitting in the major cities and the main traffic corridors, reaching 70% in the next 5 years. And something that we'd like to comment now, where we can see the photograph of full bakery AM/PM, the store starts to take a leading position in the complex of Ipiranga Station. In the past, the store would be at the back, focused on the driver who had stopped to have his car filled. Now the concern is to expose it and to have a very favorable layout so that the people on the streets and the flow of the street would see it as a leading item. I'm going to move very quickly through other styles. We are going to see a video of 2 minutes that will show you very clearly and very precisely all the package, the robust digital package whose purpose is to meet the new demands of consumers. And these are demands that have been accelerated by the pandemic. So we are bringing more convenience and simplicity to our customers wherever they are. So each purchase journey inside the store, at the fuel station, in stores, in commercial or residential areas, or that provide delivery services, all those have been looked at very carefully and properly digitalized. And we have this package already active. Preliminary numbers show a growth of 20% in the sales of those stores. You will see this very clearly in the video we are going to show. As to proprietary operation, we were very surprised with the result. Our purpose was to operate in Rio and São Paulo, understand this business very well, and we understand that the franchising operation at this magnitude is very difficult to operate. But this is very important to understand all the items and to understand the pain of the franchisee so that we can have a continuous process of the development of the franchising packages, and also with the purpose of protecting the network. So this is an alternative when the franchisee will not be interested or will not be interested in the continue the business. So this is very important when that we come in so that we can develop the new franchisee to continue the business, continue with the operational excellence and ensuring the good results. I believe that this is the main point that I would like to stress. And all the expansion of the operation was carefully developed so that we could be able to ensure a growth with profitability. So this is a very important point, and this is something which is happening, and we can see the results above our expectations considering the moment we are going through. It also ensures a very important scale in our solutions of fueling. And this is part of our expansion model that will come after. And major purchase bargain with the industry. If you have a proprietary business with operational excellence, the industry will be very interested and therefore will be able to have a model which is quite interesting. And this comes as a result of this operation, and this will be felt and rolled out to our franchising package. This is a good path for value generation. And profitability is our purpose and our objective. It brings 2.5 to 5 percentage points above the EBITDA. The break-even will happen in up to 12 months, and this is the number that we have calculated so far, actual numbers. And the investment will be in the amount of 500,000 per store, and this will vary on a case-by-case basis, but this is the number that we have seen so far. APM will take an ever more important role in this transforming the convenience store business concept in Brazil. As for territory and areas of operation, we are going to operate in Ipiranga fuel stations especially, and obviously there are some samples of seven stores that are operating out of fuel stations so that we can understand the behavior of our business when we are operating not in places where there is a fuel station. Because it's important to have this possibility of operating disconnected from a fuel station as a complement to our network. So we have been from important urban centers, and we have been moving away. We have been seeing that fuel stations have been placed in distant places from one another. So to have those kind of stores detached from fuel stations will be very important for our capillarity, and will be very important for setting our north. So this is a franchise model based on a proprietary operation, Our offer, as I said before, is focused on food service and the differentiation in the consumption by means of omni-channel model. So this is a reality that we see in this model, and we can see that it grows every day, and we see that the period we live today is very favorable for the rollout process. As to strategy, we have three pillars which are strategic and fundamental: the expansion of the network, as I said, the proprietary operation will play a very relevant role, the qualification of the offer, so having a research and development area which will be very engaged and very robust and very qualified with experience in food service would be a critical factor for our success in the qualification of the offer pillar and operational excellence. Without any doubt, this is one of the biggest challenges in the convenience store business segment in Brazil and even outside Brazil. And we see that international experience have seen intense operation, and the operator has to be, all this operation has to be remodeled according to the expectations of the consumer, especially in a business like ours. And in our case, proprietary operation has been extremely important, and we have already seen results as reference. And we have seen changes in the behavior in major part of our network. We have a matrix for the segmentation of network that would vary, range from infrastructure and quality at the point of sales. And also we have to consider at the other end the quality of operation. So 38% of network already has an operational level which is appropriate. In other words, it has evolved a lot in relation to what we intend to deliver. And this makes a great difference both in results and as the frequency of purchases of the operators. On slide 10, when we talk about our expansion strategy, I'd like to say that this is going to happen as we grow more dense around the four distribution centers that we see. We can see all those in the red points, and then we can see some blue points, which are going to be the new distribution centers. What we see in orange are the operations, our proprietary operations. So around each distribution center, we already have a lot of franchisees, and our proprietary store will be the beginning for us to develop new places where we will implement a new distribution centers in the near future to ensure that the network will grow in a very structured way. So as an example, if you see to the right, on top in the northeast region of Brazil, we can see three clusters of operation. We are starting our operations in Recife, Natal, and João Pessoa, Paraíba, Rio Grande do Norte, Paraíba. Each cluster has a certain minimum number of stores that would make management structure possible in order to ensure the operational excellence and control and other things which are necessary for us to replicate the ideal model, which is the franchising model, where the owner will be controlling the business, will be seeing the customers at the counter. So this is something very important to replicate. So This is very intricate with the incentive campaigns and everything. And this is something I like a lot, but I'm not going to give a lot of details because we do not have a lot of time here. But the preparatory operation creates a critical mass, which is very qualified in the new region. And from then, we will implement the distribution center. And at this time, the network starts to develop as franchisees, which are our core businesses. Now, moving on to slide 11. I nearly forgot to say that our potential or our north is the opening of 200 or 300 stores per year. Offer, which is the second pillar. I think I talked a lot about our investments in research and development, food service, bakery, which is an area that generates a lot of purchase. We have breakfast every day, we eat bread every day. So there is a recurrence of visits. So offer of food at any time of the day. So this is a work that has been done by our research and development area. And what are the ready products also used as takeaways. So from then on, we are going to create and expand our product mix. And added to all this, now holding a large vision of profitability, our proprietary brand, as it, also with exclusive products. We have some iconic products, some smooth line, which is going to be developed to other items. As we can see, the mood items, and these are going to be under the area of energy drinks. And this, the private label was responsible for 10% in 2020, and our intention is to reach 20%, and with an increment of 5 to 10% margin increment. All this is measured at times which are not so favorable to our business as we have been experiencing in the past years. All the context of improvement of our offer, improvement in the execution of our strategy, especially at the point of sale, especially in the franchising network, from the viewpoint of a proprietary operation, we no longer have this operation. We control, we have mastered these operations, and we have an excellence offer. So the idea and the plan now is to double the network in 5 years and make our invoice at triple levels. So from 2.4 to 5.5 in the next 5 years. And in the longer term, we clearly see, I'm really talking about a distant period, but we will bring the component of stores which are detached from the fuel stations that will complement the capillarity of network. And we intend to reach 5,000 stores with an EBITDA margin higher than 10% and the ROIC higher than 20%. As a reference, in 2020, our EBITDA margin was 8%. On slide 13, we reach nearly the end, and this is the materialization of what has been mentioned by Marcelo. We need more independence to accelerate our growth with profitability. So we need to have a structure which is already walking on its own feet, and We have our own particularities. We are going to insource the key processes to our business. And this is also related to systems which are specialized in the retail market and management team, which is focused on the business with a vocation for the retail market, and people who have had experience, deep experience in areas which are critical, such as proprietary operations, digital, and research and development. And exclusive advisory board for AMPM. It's already in operation. We had the first meeting, which was very profitable, very fruitful. And we expect that by the end of 2021, we'll end this spin-off movement. And as of the second quarter of 2022, something similar to this will make us start to disclose AMPM results with the details in a very structured manner and all the necessary figures for the business to be evaluated. So this is when I come to the end. I will show a video that will last 2 minutes. I would like you to focus on the digital aspect and omni-channel initiatives. We will see some cases, and you will see the leading position that AMPM is taking in the complex of Ipiranga fuel station. The video, please. So we are now going to start the Q&A session. We are now going to start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We ask you to pick up the headset when you pose your question in order to provide optimum sound quality. There might be a slight audio delay before the webcast, between the webcast and the teleconference. Please hold while we poll the questions. In case you're following the conference call via webcast, please click on question to the host to send your question. Our first question comes from André Hachem with Itaú. You may proceed, sir.
Thank you for taking my question. I would like to ask a question related to convenience store. Along the last years, we have the concept of convenience stores changing a lot. Delivery, fast delivery. And in 2014, we had, in comparison, we see something different. I would like to know how you see the new trend of consumers expect from convenience stores, and how is the communication with the new platforms, and how do you see the competition going forward? The concept of convenience transcending of impulse purchase of those who are just fueling the car.
Excellent question. When we talk about convenience store concept, we talk about it in a more expanded way. Convenience is not related to the physical store. Today, it needs to meet the consumer's demand wherever the consumer is. So that's why we invested so much in the past in order to create a package which would be very robust, including digital aspects that would make this happen. So we have a proprietary solutions. So if we are at a store, for example, in a commercial center, we have a solution such as root service when the consumer would scan a QR code and it will make an order, pay, and he can receive in the person's apartment or whatever. We have a WhatsApp solution which is totally customized for the AM PM business that was relaunched, and the adherence has been impressive, and the partnership with the major marketplaces, all those who have been in the market for a long time. So all those would bring very larger traffic. And these are major concepts in the process, and the pandemic accelerated this behavior change by the consumer. I would like to leave a message based on the question. Something that surprised us a lot in the past weeks related to the consumption we reported in our stores. We have a hard time when we were complying with the decree of closing down, and the decrees were very tough, very hard for us in the retailing operations such as ours. We had to stop our operations in some regions at some moments, such as holidays or weekends. And as this was eased, we started to notice that the purchase behavior also changed because consumers were willing to leave home and they wanted to go back to normal life. I didn't talk a lot when I mentioned the layout of the stores when I was giving the presentation, but before the pandemic in 2019, we introduced the external deck, and the movie shows this, especially the Cambuí Campinas stores, which is a major flagship for our business. And this is also applicable in the stores in the interior of our country. But we have this feeling of safety. I think the normal life will happen in a more intense manner than we can possibly imagine.
Perfect, Marcelo.
Allow me a second question, a quick question.
still in this line, talking about evolution, we have some recurrences in the model of partnerships when we talk about convenience stores. So Ipiranga developed the concept of convenience store. How have you been feeling this? And do you consider the possibility of bringing in partners into the operation? So we are open to any new model, but what so happens is that the experience that we have had with this business of a retail operation, where you make a decision of having the food service as its main line of our business, and this is related to what I mentioned during my presentation. We want to grow with profitability. We do not want to grow at any cost. And to that end, we have to master all the aspects of the operation. Any franchisor of a company, of an operation at this magnitude, needs to have a representative business that can offer all the conditions that our franchisees require. So it was our own decision to have this expertise and invest in a team with a lot of experience in this topic in the Brazilian market. So for the time being, this is the path that we decided to take. If I could add to that, André's question related to the corporate partnerships for the future. This is how I understood your question. I think what you said was very important. It's very important for us to develop our proprietary stores, but André, only to make it clear, we have no restriction. We have no problem related to any possible partnership in the future. So this is how we developed some other partnerships such as Shell. AMPM was already the most advanced convenience store network in the market, but was very focused to be a tool to sell fuel. So this was an instrument of marketing to sell fuel originally, and this is very powerful to this purpose. But what we wanted to make sure is that we had a business that could be operated on its own, well structured, with a proposition of volume value, with a good offer to the franchisee, and so that we could create value per se. And after the spin-off, we are going to start a new cycle of expansion, because we are sure we have a product and a business model which has a lot of potential to create value. If in this new cycle, this new journey, it becomes attractive to have partners to accelerate this growth, we are open to that. I just wanted to add this information. Of course, we have a very solid plan. If we have entities to contribute on this path, they will be welcome. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much for your answers. Our next question comes from Luiz Carvalho with UBS Bank. You may proceed, sir. Good morning, Marcel, Rodrigo, Rafael. Thank you very much for taking my question. I have three questions. Rafael, you gave a wonderful presentation showing information that we may not have known before. The main competitors of Ipiranga, they have taken a similar direction, in the sense of offering more convenience stores, making partnerships with other partners. that may have knowledge about the retail market as the main business may be bigger than the distribution of fuel. What are the main differentiators of AmPm in relation to the main two competitors that you have? And the second question, when we talk about some resellers and some franchisees that you have, we have the perception that the convenience store has always been supporting a secondary business to the fuel station. And it's a lot of work considering the number of SKUs. And sometimes it's a family business. And we often hear that there's a certain level of discontent. I don't know if this is the right word in relation to the lack of flexibility of AmPm model. When you have a franchise, you cannot purchase a Coke because you have to buy specifically what the model requires. So how do you see this process? Maybe we have an biased sample, and how would you minimize this lack of flexibility and standardization of the model you have? I have a last question. I don't know if it's going to be directed to Rodrigo or to Marcelo. Yeah, on the last slide, you mentioned the spin-off process, and from our understanding, you would have to present the financial information in a segregated manner. But when we look at the 10-year plan, when you want to have a ROIC and a larger EBITDA margin, what can we expect in when we think about accelerating this process, IPO or bringing in a partner to accelerate this? What are the bottlenecks for this growth? Lack of capital, maturation of the market. We are going to first see how the market would respond or what. Thank you. Excellent question. I would like to thank you for the question. First, in relation to the competitors, what are the differentiators of AmPm? I believe that the main differentiator of AmPm is that we are a very strong brand. AmPm, together with Ipiranga, along the time, we have built a very assertive communication model, which was very successful in the creative aspect and also in relation to the adherence to our public, our target. And this has been very successful. Go there, just drop by, visit us. This is something very strong. And AmPm used all this process to its advantage. And the basis of the communication was focused on a complete fuel station. And the offers is excellent in order to materialize this concept of a complete station that Ipiranga would offer. So this is a very strong brand, and without any doubt, this has been a very important point when we got surprised with the results of the stores that were established out of the fuel station. This is just, I'm just touching upon the surface of all this, but we have 25% of penetration now, and when it reaches 60% of penetration in our network in the 5 years, we will have this idea. But we understand that this is a differentiator. And the second point is the capacity that we have to be always looking ahead of us. So AmPm has a very strong connection with the market. We intensely participate in NACS. We have an important voice in all the forums of discussion of business development. So we have been taking a pioneering role, such as Beer Cave that was mentioned shortly. We also launched the concept of bakery. So our offer has been developing in a very accelerated way, and with this communication foundation behind it. The second question relates to two important fronts. First is that the business was considered to be a secondary, as you mentioned in your question, as if it were a sub-product of business of resale of fuels. So at first, we wouldn't have a focus except if there were somebody in the family succession to be engaged and to continue the business. And also they had to follow the guidelines of the franchisor. We have a very well-structured process. When we look at our network as a whole, we segment the network, and by means of methodology of management of categories, we can have a schedule for each type of store and the surrounding areas and all the competition around the store. Allow me to disagree when you said that, but I understand that this perception is real. In other words, the lack of flexibility from the viewpoint of purchasing items. And the main objective of offering a proprietary solution, in addition to removing a workload from the franchisee, we want to offer most competitiveness. So as we increase the service level at one end, which attracts the industry that would be ever more interested in our business, and we along the time we will accelerate our power of purchasing power. So now we have reached 120 stores, and this is not little. And for those items where at a certain region, there is an opportunity for purchase in better conditions than those offered by the guidelines, and this is something that has to be considered based on the location of our distribution centers. So there is some flexibility for the franchisees to purchase locally. So there are some regional products which are purchased locally by the franchisee. Allow me to add Fahel's answers. They are perfect, but our objective is to maintain top-of-mind brand, continue including new products and new approaches. New AMPM has a new approach, and our service digital package is a new innovation so that we can provide more details and add to what Farias mentioned. And that there's a very important factor, which is our proprietary logistics, which is extremely efficient so that you can deliver in a safe way containers at three different temperatures. It's a complete package that would make the franchisees' lives easier. So all the resistance or the perception of lack of flexibility of the resales, which may be something specific of the market, it originates from the fact that the stores were not designed and or operated or optimized to create value per se when compared to the past. In the past, it used to be a market instrument to help sell more fuel. So what is happening now is that the stores are no longer an opportunity of sale for those who are going to fill their cars, but rather increase their traffic in the stores, having this as a destination with a recurrence at a more frequent way than those who fuel their cars. So people would go to the stores more frequently, and if they need, they will fill the tank of their cars. So this is the perception we want to have in terms, we want to give in terms of the traffic. All this package, well aligned, wants to strengthen the frequency of visit to the stores and as a consequence increase the sales of fuels. So proprietary logistics has a fundamental role to make this more efficient for the reseller. And when they perceive the value, they will be more interested in investing in a more professionalized manner. Doesn't matter which member of the family will continue the business, provided that the profile is appropriate. Those who do not operate, they can be favored by operating the proprietary stores or attracting the consumers to their complex, and they will be favored by means of a share in the sales. All the models have been created in order to overcome all those difficulties, which are real. Some people would say, oh, the results are very limited. These are the complaints that we used to hear. But when we see the results of the new models, they see that we have potential to create value to them as well. So this is the expectation we want to adopt for the future. So when you asked about a spin-off, Luis, you see the objective of a spin-off to accelerate the growth. Yes, this is the major objective, indeed, to offer a company with capacity to make or the planned and growth aspirations materialize. But this all has to be considered as a fundamental pillar to offer a complete station. So we can have considered the capitalization process with third parties. We will do whatever is needed to capitalize. And capital is not the major bottleneck, but rather the capacity of execution with efficiency for the growth. We are considering 200, 300 stores per year, which will demand a lot of capacity to identify the stores, what would be the adequate mix for each point, each stores, the schedules, all the operators, all the licenses and permits, so that we can face this challenge properly. So the plan has been developed so that AMPM can make this viable. We can accelerate it more or less depending on the demand. And there's something interesting that we'd like to share with you that is based on our vision. At first, our movement and together with the movement of our competition will help us transform the perception of convenience stores segment in Brazil. So this will be a very important market. Today it's very incipient. The penetration potential of growth of the stores has a great potential. As I said, we have a lot to gain. The market is very attractive. That is going to be developed in the next 5 years. So we want to continue to hold the leading position in those segments and the market. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. Thank you, Marcelo. Ladies and gentlemen, we would like you to ask just one question per time. The next question comes from Gabriel Barra with Citibank. Marcelo, Rodrigo, thank you very much for the presentation and for taking my questions. I'm going to focus on the store models. I would like to have some details. It would be interesting to know when you compare the two models in relation for the time that each store is going to mature, investment. And I would like to understand what would be the decision-making point. And when you look at the network of AmPm, which are the stores that could be converted into the new model? And what would be the share considering the entire market that you are planning to reach? For this level of penetration that you mentioned, which is 60-70%, and when you compare with the penetration that you have, when you look back and you make the comparison of those percentages, what would be the main points for you to reach this level in the next years? It's a long path ahead of you, and where would be the major challenge you think you're going to face? I would like to point out that our business is franchising-related business. Proprietary operation has a role in this moment of transformation, and when we are searching for more speed in growth and the improvement in execution at the end, in the sense that it's a major laboratory development in this business. We see a lot of space for us to grow and improve as franchisor. It's a very important reference for the franchisees of each region because the franchisees start to see that this business, when taken as a primary role, it brings a result which is much higher than we are capturing today. This was a great surprise of the first movements that we had with our proprietary operations. As I said, the idea is to be limited to Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo. And nowadays, we have clusters across the country, considering the positive response that we had in terms of business results. But we want this business result to materialize in most part of our network, which is related to the franchising network. So when we have to select the fuel stations that will have a proprietary operation or franchising format, the decision will be based on the need for each reseller to that will be offered, depending on how much they will devote to the business. So the idea is to be prepared at any time to absorb those stores so that we can put the stores at the level of results and image perception
which at a higher level, and of course, to attract franchisees that would be different from the one that operates the fuel station now. We haven't mapped out the network in order to know which one will do what. So we will have a transformation process for the execution of our business. And we also have to consider laboratory aspects, scales, so that we can implement our DCs and everything related to it. How are we going to reach the 6% of penetration? The three store formats show that mostly those store formats will be able to operate it in an automated way. And some of them have a bakery, and they still can offer product mix, which is quite interesting. That would increase the income and the sales, that would ensure the margin of the business. So considering the three formats of stores and the region in Brazil, which is very large, where we still do not have a very structured way to be aggressive or to have an expansion plan which is more robust and aggressive, as I said. I'm sure that we have room for us to reach the 60% penetration in our network. Gabriel, in relation to the economics that you mentioned, the P&D, our P&D personnel can have all the details, but the franchising model and the proprietary models are very different. The profitability of the franchisor is based on the royalty fees, and we also have to include all the intelligence of the system. So the investment is made by the franchisee, and the profitability of the store is also theirs. And for the proprietor stores, it's our CapEx, profitability is ours. I have all the chain that would include all this margin, but the purpose is that both businesses should be profitable and they would be able to remunerate all the capital that were invested. And this is a result of what we have been doing in the last 2 years to offer this complement so that the operators who do not have the profile to get into this business and also other franchisees can be attracted to operate in those stores. I would also like to add an answer to Ricardo that asked via webcast. He said, the three competitors have expressive plans to grow. So the question is there enough market for all the competitors to grow? Yes, this is a market that is still incipient in Brazil. And in the United States, it already reaches 80%. So we are talking about reaching 60%, and the share of profitability of all the services is still very limited when we talk about convenience stores. And the consumers' habits are also going to change. At first, we are going to compete, but all the investments made by the major companies, all those who are also developing the convenience stores segment businesses, they're all going to help change the behavior of the consumers, and the differentiation is going to be made according to the offers of food, and the ones that do it better will be the winners. And this is how I would like to position ourselves, as I mentioned before.
Do we still have other questions? Our next question comes from Pedro Soares with BTG Pactual. You may proceed.
Good afternoon, Marcelo, Pharrell, Cusinato. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to talk about penetration. It was very well developed and approached, but I think we have to give a lot of attention to the 60% you're targeting for the next years. And the low penetration in Brazil is a data that we have seen for years now. And this is not something exclusive for your company. This is part of the sector. And now that we can see the three major distributors focused on this market, I would like to ask you what happened in the past. Why didn't it happen in the past in any of the models that you're suggesting? Was it the franchising model that was not attractive enough? So not in your case so much, because you're going to continue focusing on this, or maybe the distributors want to reach these new opportunities. Is it the focus on food service? I would like you to explain the factors that explain the past, and I would like you to provide us some color on this topic so that we can understand if this is a structural dynamics for the sector, or whether all the competitors will reach this level of penetration. And very quickly and very specifically, Marcelo, you taught that the economics would vary according to the store models, but could you give us an average in terms of maturity, how long they are going to take to reach this level? Thank you. Okay, Fahel. I think this is a structural characteristic of the industry. The fuel distribution market is going through a process of transformation. And the operator is searching for new sources of income and margin and profitability to their business. So as Marcelo mentioned at the beginning, the convenience business was seen as a marketing activity for a fuel station. There was no interest to explore the most profitability this business could offer. But now this scenario is changing. And as all retailing activity, whichever it may be, if you do not have the owner serving the customer, if you do not have the necessary engagement, when you have to work close to the franchisor, when we're talking about franchising model. And if you do not have all the controls and incentive programs for the teams, if you do not have all those engagement attitudes, those responsible to the business will not have the success materialized. They will not see the color of money, and this would move away the convenience store owner away from the business. As I said, we have this proprietary operation. 38% of our network already has a level of operation which is necessary, and this is all segmented, and this has been working by our fuel team. And what we are doing is the following. When it is clear there's no succession in the profile, in the operation of that particular store, we are going to bring in an alternative solution, which may be the proprietary operation or another franchisee, which is going to pay a rent that will be paid for that specific store, and the consumer will be happier, which is the same consumer of the fuel product, and will bring more profitability in the purchase of fuel. This is how I see penetration. So this is related to the industry. I agree totally with Farrell, Pedro, and this is it. The industry as a whole did not become a professional. It did not develop, it did not create this habit in the consumer. And I believe that considering the squeeze that we have been seeing in the last 5-6 years in the margins, and at first, if you do not make money, it's going to drain the resources. So it's very important for the person to dedicate more, to try to find solutions so that they can have the benefit of having an efficient stores and have the profitability operating and having an income as proper income, as Farrell mentioned. We understand that this is going to be developed in a very accelerated way, and the few stations did not have the team dedicated to those stores, and they didn't have the team. So the same team that was operating with the fuel was the team that was operating at the stores. When we add to this way of educating people, you will create the new habits of consumers, and this is how we are going to create a new industry. And this is why we are so positive in relation to the business of AMPM and the future. As to maturity, just to answer your last question in relation to the economics and the maturity of the stores, we have seen, as I said before, we started the proprietary operation in the last 18 months, and we already have 120 stores. So the learning curve has been quite accelerated. So the results were very quick. And Farrell helped us develop this in a very efficient manner. And we can already see the potential of those stores. As for the franchises, we have some few examples of the new franchisees which are beginning, but we expect 24, 30 months for those stores to reach their maturity. And this is the estimation for our models. So these numbers are very interesting. The investment is relatively small compared to other operations in the retail market. Oh, that's very clear. Thank you. My pleasure. Our last question comes from Regis Cardoso with Credit Suisse. You may proceed, sir. Thank you very much for your patience and attention. So let's think about economics in an aggregated manner for Ultrapar or Ipiranga. How big can this business have? I can see that you have the expectations of growth on the presentation with an EBITDA margin of 10%. I believe that this 10% EBITDA margin is for proprietary operation. That means that the total income would include the franchising network. I would like to understand more details on slide 12. So is this considering a mix of proprietary operations and franchisees? We talked about EBITDA, and I would like to understand what's the CapEx you're going to invest per year in the first 5 years, for example. Uh, Oh, this refers to the whole network. It's not only related to the proprietary operations. And we are basing ourselves on actual measurements. The CapEx investment following this accelerated formula will range from 100 and 200 million per year. And this is going to the highest peak in the next 5 years. As Farrell said, only to give you a ballpark figure, if we consider 2019, which was a year with no pandemic and without major changes, we have a level of sales. At that time, we didn't have proprietary stores yet. So it stood at the level of 2 billion, and we had EBITDA higher than 60 million. This was the return of the business at that time. And 2021, we believe that we are going to go back to those levels and we are going to grow from then on, considering all the projections that we have just shared with you. With the triple income levels, whichever format of store, whichever kind of business. So we believe that the return on capital will be about 20% when we have a large number of stores in the more advanced maturity level. So this would be the ballpark figures in terms of numbers. So CapEx just for the proprietary stores. And the franchisee would not burden our own capital because the investment will be made by the franchisee. I don't know if that would answer your question. Would anyone like to compliment? I think you touched upon the main messages. And on slide 12, Regis, as Farrell and Marcelo mentioned, you have the view of the next 5 years and also a longer term view. So this is the vision of AMPM complete, not only considering the proprietary stores. And we are saying this based on the result of 2019 as a reference, and we intend to multiply the EBITDA by 5% or something around it. So we'll consider a growth of stores and a higher sales level, and with gain of scale of the network, the gain is going to be proportional on the EBITDA results. Okay, thank you, Rodrigo, Marcelo, Farrell. A quick follow-up in relation to sales. When you talk about EBITDA margin, are you talking about the distributor and the revenue would be the royalty, or is it measured according to what the franchisee is going to have as income? So the royalty might be low, so the EBITDA of the distributor would be low. I would like to understand this rationale. Regis, this is a very important point. This may not have been very clear. So is the EBITDA margin on the franchisee's business? So it's a mix. What is royalty revenues from the franchisees and the sales that comes from the business of the franchisee? So you have a generator revenue would make the EBITDA margin at this order. And we have this mixed model of proprietary operation and franchisee. And in order to simplify the vision, we consider the total revenue of the network, and this EBITDA is the total EBITDA of AMPM. So it's the total revenue of AMPM divided by the total sales of the income. This is the concept of EBITDA margin that we mentioned. Okay, that's very clear now. Thank you, Rodrigo and Marcelo, for help. Thank you very much for the presentation. Have a good day. Thank you all. We are wrapping up the event. I would like to thank Farrell, Marcelo for the presentation. I thank you all for the attention and interest. We created this series to provide more visibility to our strategy, our plans, and our leaders. And I hope this was fruitful to you. And we will see you on the 12th when we disclose our results. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you. Thank you. This concludes today's Ultra Series video conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time.